I love how the video says and reminds us that our God is here. How good it is to be in the house of our Lord. How good it is to be in the midst of beautiful people of God. We are to be reminded that in the midst of chaos, confusion, rumors upon rumors, disease, violence, and pain, there is light. The unequivocal light that shines in the darkness. And this light is Jesus Christ all around us. Let us pray. Creator of heaven and earth, in this season, the light arrives, and we are grateful you are calling us to stop and stand at the side of the Christ child, leaning in with admiration, stunned in glory and with awe. Lord, we are wide awake, knowing that nothing will ever be the same, because the light has arrived. Epiphany is among us. Thanks be to God. And all of God's children said, amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, and with me, since we're together, go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. The words will be behind me on the screen. So hear the word of the Lord. In the time of Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that had been seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today, I am truly grateful for our podcast. And I want to give a shout out and a thank you to Chris Meyer for immediately uploading all of our sermons. As I shared time with my family in D.C., this gave me an opportunity to hear Pastor Ashley faithfully retell and proclaim the good news of Christ through one of the many heart-wrenching passages in Scripture. If you have not peered deeper into Herod and his response to this divine birth and how Jesus once again was obedient to God, I recommend you carve out 20 minutes to hear Pastor Ashley's message and share it with everyone you know. If you are like me, you traveled over the Christmas break, visiting with friends and family. And as I look out, I see some of you may still be on vacation. I am keeping track. You may not know this, but I love to travel. I mean, just me and the open road when I'm driving, and occasionally my daughter is with me. But unfortunately, my dog Lucky becomes car sick, so she is never, ever invited. When I fly, I always prefer a direct route with no stops. For those of us who travel anywhere, even to the grocery store, you know that that is not always possible. This morning, as we gather together, we will journey along a few back roads where the pavement is narrow and the traffic lights are frequent and the layover is long. You may find yourselves with less questions about the Magi, the star, in their journey to the Christ child, and more questions with what's happening within our denomination, our nation, or even the fires in Australia. Some of you may be toying with the most tempering questions of all. How long, Lord? Or maybe, Lord, as I put this all together, what does it mean? Within the past 48 hours, one of the multitude of petitions that will go before our denomination's legislative body in May has made headline news. Our denomination has found herself in the New York Times, CNN, Fox News, The Washington Post, The Wall Street Journal, and countless other media outlets. As a denomination, it seems as if we are at the beginning stages of our 15 minutes of fame. Universally, social media is on fire, and the UMC is the fuel over the church's stance on human sexuality. But particularly, as a local church, Cokesbury friends, families, guests, and visitors, the denomination has not split. The media has said that we have split, and we have not split. And rest assured, we will have those deep, intentional, meaningful conversations about who we are in the midst of this debate. But for a moment, I'm going to step into a space of courage and vulnerability. As the lead pastor of one of the primo churches in our conference, yes, that's you, and as an unmarried ordained elder, within the past month, I have recently found myself on the end of defamatory and unfounded and untrue rumors focused on my own sexuality, stirring me to reach out to mentors, my coach, some annual conference staff, close friends, and my family. See, being single is not a cause or a target to become a weapon. And according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, around chapter 7, it is actually a gift. But that's a traffic light and a layover for another day. But just so you know, Cokesbury, I am about our Father's business. Beautiful people of God, the church is powerful, much more than any other institution, because it deals with our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits, and together through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the church transforms people's relationship with God. So when decisions need to be made, and they will, we will make them. But until then, we are still the people of the United Methodist Church who are invited and called to bring Christ to people and people to Christ, who were invited and called to forge ahead, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, who were invited and called to connect people to God, grow in our faith, and serve God together. Many of us may be eager for answers, eager for God to perform a miracle, eager for God to heal, and eager for all the world to be well. But as people of God, we are to show caution when responding out of eagerness and anxiety. Instead, we are invited to respond out of much prayer and discernment, out of faithful study of the scriptures, out of our experience and our commitment and love for a God who continues to reveal the kingdom of heaven to us today. I am about making disciples of Jesus Christ because I believe disciples transform the world. In Cokesbury, we are about bringing Christ to people and people to Christ. So regardless of what we decide or when we decide, we still need to be about Jesus Christ and our Father's business. So if, no when, you have questions or concerns, our pastoral staff is here for you. Please know we will address this as a unified body, being proactive and not reactive. We're all being invited to respond with grace and faithfulness, hand in hand with a God who shows us the same. This would be the time when the flight attendant tells you, "Welcome to your destination." And for us, it is Epiphany Sunday. Today is an unexpected gift of an overwhelming joy. Though we do not have much time left, I wanted to share a little bit more with you. See, this morning amongst truth-telling, we are in the midst of celebrating the manifestation of God to the Magi. So for the next few moments, let us pause and hover over verse 12. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left their own country by another road. Though the Gospel of Matthew does not mention how many Magi were present, the narrative of these men are a familiar one. We know from the other Gospels that there were at least three. We have heard the Magi called wise men, kings, and astronomers, who were obedient and responded to a phenomena in the sky. The Magi represent pagans or Gentiles, non-Jews who journeyed to Bethlehem to follow a light in the sky. And truth be told, they were the first ones to tell us that Jesus is God's revelation to the whole world and has meaning for all people. See, the Magi are Gentiles to the extreme. They are pagan characters who at the very beginning of Jesus' life lift the dividing walls between nations and cultures. I have always believed this particular passage is a gift to us from the Christ child. Through divine revelation, when the Magi came into the presence of the Holy One, they received the unexpected gift of being overwhelmed with joy. They bowed down and worshiped the Messiah. They offered their very, very best gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to return home, having been warmed by a dream, they left for their own country by another road. Not many commentators touch upon verse 12 because there isn't a lot to say. But in the context of their visit as a whole, the last verse has plenty to say to us today. If you haven't already experienced this in your life, I want you to imagine that you find yourself before the very presence of God, worshiping God, experiencing God's forgiveness, God's redemption, and God's support of a faithful community filled with love. Imagine that for a moment. God's love, God's forgiveness of your sins, God's grace, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Because when you do experience God to that effect, it is a challenge to go back the way in which you came. So like the Magi, we're being called to move forward in the midst of chaos and confusion. Remember, Herod had ordered the demise of the little ones under the age of 2. So in the midst of chaos and confusion, like the Magi, we are still called to give God our very, very best gifts, no matter what is going on. What would our world look like if every single person were willing to give their very, very best to God? So this morning, in the midst of a petition that has the media falsely declaring the UMC has split, this morning, in the midst of rumors upon rumors, chaos and confusion, this morning, in the midst of Magi and a holy child, there is an overwhelming joy because there is good news. The light is here, guiding us forward with our arms stretched out, worshiping an almighty God, giving our precious gifts to God who became flesh for all of us. That is the good news. The light is here. So we kneel today before this amazing God this morning. And like the Magi in worship to the Messiah, may we too be forever changed. No, may we too be forever transformed to the point where going back the way that we came is not an option. By moving forward together in unity as disciples of Jesus Christ, presenting our gifts and ourselves as living sacrifices, we are called to do this to a God who sacrificed for us. We should be about our Father's business. So this morning, as we move toward this open table of grace and love, may we, as the body of Christ, be faithful in all that we do and say. And may we together as one, unified out of love for God, have 2020 vision in the year ahead. May we be about our Father's business, bringing Christ to people and people to Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, We thank you for this faithful reminder to worship you first. When the Magi came before the Holy One, they worshiped him first. May we worship you first in all that we do. And may we bring our gifts, our very best to you every single day. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for being our God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. And all of God's beautiful children, all of God's beautiful children said amen.